ABC Radio Australia.
Pacific leaders are celebrating a legal victory, with the world's highest court saying states that fail to deal with climate change could be subjected to reparations. The advisory opinion by the International Court of Justice has been hailed as a landmark, but it could have serious implications on Pacific nations' relations with Australia. The ABC's Lucy Cooper with more.
We are very grateful. We still have to study the ruling or whatever it was called, but we are glad that they listened to the cry for help or for understanding from the leaders of the Pacific.
That's Fiji's Prime Minister, Sitiveni Rabuka, reacting to the news overnight from The Hague, where the International Court of Justice declared that countries failing to tackle climate change risk breaking international law.
We are the least contributors, but the most affected by climate change. So it is a world recognized obligation on the more powerful to look after those without power like us.
In its non-binding opinion, which runs to more than 500 pages, the ICJ said a clean, healthy and stable environment is a human right.
It is not really a judgment as such that people should obey, but it is an indication that the world is listening.
It's been years in the making. The case began in 2019 when a group of Pacific Islander law students in Vanuatu decided to seek the ICJ's opinion on the legal obligations of states to prevent climate change and the consequences for them if they failed. 16-year-old Vipaya Mele Trieffs is the Save the Children Vanuatu Next Gen Youth Ambassador. Speaking on the decision, she says it was a positive outcome for all young people in the Pacific.
We see the effects of climate change in all aspects of our lives as young people in the Pacific who are disproportionately affected by climate change. And I know that this advisory opinion will pave the way for justice and for a safer future for all youth and for our future generations as well.
Vanuatu's government supported the students' cause and provided diplomatic support, rallying a global coalition that succeeded in convincing the UN General Assembly to refer the case to the ICJ in 2023. Vanuatu's Special Envoy on Climate Change, Ralph Reganvanu, said the court's decision was a landmark milestone.
We can say that there is now, from the highest court of the United Nations, in fact the world's highest court, the ICJ, very clear directives. There is an obligation on all states to not cause harm to their neighbours in the spirit of international cooperation.
Mr. Reganvanu has not ruled out launching litigation against large polluting countries, including Australia, in the wake of the findings.
Australia is committing internationally wrongful acts because it is sponsoring, it is subsidising fossil fuel production and excessive emissions. And so it needs to align itself with the advisory opinion and cease this conduct that is contributing to emissions and start making reparations.
This decision comes as Australia continues its bid to host the next COP meeting alongside the Pacific. Mr. Reganvanu says he wants to see action from Australia before then.
If the COP is being touted as a Pacific COP, the Pacific needs to be co-leading, but also we expect Australia to deal with the fossil fuel problem it has, to stop the production and subsidisation of fossil fuels, and to start phasing out, as we agreed to at the previous COP, that there will be a phasing down of fossil fuel production.
The Australian government has responded carefully to the International Court of Justice's ruling, with a government spokesperson saying while it was proud to join the Pacific in co-sponsoring the Vanuatu-led initiative, it would carefully consider the findings, and that the unprecedented participation by other countries in the ICJ proceedings reflects that we're not alone in recognising the challenges and opportunities of responding to climate change. ANU International Law Professor Donald Rothwell says the ruling was historic.
This is the first decision of the International Court on any climate-related matter. The fact that it's a unanimous decision gives this decision tremendous weight. The court has given enormous clarity to the extent and the breadth and the depth of international climate obligations. The advisory opinion really creates a pathway for those specially affected states to be able to use this determination by the court to engage in political and diplomatic negotiations with the major climate polluters to try to bring about a resolution of their core concerns. So that opens up a whole range of political and diplomatic options, which could really be quite valuable. But those states are able to go into those negotiations armed with this very powerful advisory opinion.
Mr. Rothwell says this decision will open the door for litigation.
The next step is obviously to pursue litigation. So I don't see that as being an immediate response, but certainly it's something that all of these states can now keep in the back pocket. If these very specially affected climate impacted states do not achieve the sort of outcomes that they were hoping for at a political and diplomatic level.
Observers say it will reach far and wide in its impact.
We have a ruling today that will reverberate around the world and will echo through history.
That's Wesley Morgan, a research associate with the University of New South Wales Institute for Climate Risk and Response.
This is a planetary scale decision. Today is actually a day of reckoning for the fossil fuel industry and for governments that continue to allow fossil fuel companies to harm the Earth's climate system. It's hard to overstate how momentous this ruling is. The judgment or the advisory opinion from the Court of Justice will reverberate in parliaments, in courts, in boardrooms around the planet.
The case was the biggest the ICJ had handled, with judges poring over tens of thousands of pages of submissions from countries and organisations around the world, including Australia. The ICJ said climate change was an urgent and existential threat to humanity, and countries had a duty to cooperate on addressing it. Stephanie Stevens of Vanuatu said it was a milestone, particularly for women in her community.
Staffordshire planned the issue for climate change, planned the impact.
We have faced many problems because of climate change, lots of impacts. It's affected our lives. During normal times, we've worked hard walking to find water, to find food, to carry it back. And when you add the impact of climate change onto our lives, it's an even bigger problem for us because we're the ones looking after our household. When we heard the news, we were glad. We've got some big countries that create pollution. They can support small Pacific Island countries with money. They can also put more action in their own country to reduce pollution from factory or industry.
The decision has been touted as a turning point for the Pacific region. Reverend James Bhagwan, General Secretary of the Pacific Conference of Churches and leading climate justice advocate for Pacific Island communities, described it as a call to conscience.
Now we can really hold states accountable if they are not doing enough. And this can also be applied to companies and industries as well. Communities can take people to task, can take companies, can take countries to task. And I think also from our Pacific perspective, you know, our deep relationship with the Vanua, the Whenua, if a healthy environment is a human right, then rivers, forests, mountains, the ocean must be recognized as rights-bearing entities.
He applauded the work of the Pacific Islander law students who came up with the idea of seeking an advisory opinion on climate change.
Their work from a classroom in Vanuatu to the world's highest court is a real statement, not only to the Pacific Island states, but to Pacific Island young people making a difference. These are people who have no choice but to act to protect their future.
Looking forward, the ICJ's decision means nations now have an obligation under international law to prevent climate change, and they may be liable to pay compensation if they fail to do so. It's an outcome Parlin Abraham Phillip, the chairman of the Vanuatu Climate Action Network, is keen to see implemented.
As part of the work that the community or the members within the Vanuatu Climate Action Network are doing is to get compensation, mostly looking at loss and damage funds, just to ensure that we ourselves recover from most of the contributing factors from the effects of climate change. And we are demanding climate justice.